Kultura 101. Today is October 27th. King David said in Psalm 37 that the mouth of the righteous articulates wisdom, his tongue speaks justice. The Torah of his God is in his heart. His footsteps do not falter. Today we pick up in Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. The whole earth used the same language, the same words. It is believed that the holy tongue, Hebrew, was the common language originally of man. But beyond the language, verse 1 explains that the people were saying the same thing. The Talmud tells us that they schemed together, saying the same words. So the people now on earth are saying the same thing. They've come together to rebel against the God of heaven. It came about that as they traveled from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and lived there. They said to one another, "Come, let us bake bricks and bake them in the fire." So they had bricks for building stone and clay for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let's build ourselves a city with a tower that has its top reaching up into heaven, so that we can make a name for ourselves and not be scattered all over the earth." Nimrod, the original one-world ruler that we read about yesterday, is now leading a worldwide rebellion against the King of Heaven. And they want to build a tower to connect earth and heaven. And notice in verse 4, so that we can make a name for ourselves. The self-sufficiency, the self-determination of humanity, the creative spark to do better and to increase and to improve, these things are all good when they are under the authority of God. But sadly, it is the state of humanity that people want to elevate themselves as God. They want to be worshipped. People want to worship people. Just look at the entertainment industry. The stars that we hold up, it's just in our nature somewhere that we must worship. And if we deny God, then we will worship somebody or something. So this rebellion to elevate the human race up into heaven. Adonai came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. He comes down, notice. I think that God can appear in any form that he chooses. He can come to the earth whenever he wants. He can appear in any form that he wants. He's able to do that. Like a justice in a courtroom, he must be presented with the evidence. Now, he didn't need to come down to see what they were doing. But just that he sets this pattern and precedent for humanity that before we make a judgment, we should see it for ourselves. He comes to see it, comes down. I wonder how many times God has come down, if he comes down in the days that we live, if he appears like he does here at the Tower of Babel, or in Sodom and Gomorrah he appears. Of course, he appeared in the Galilee as Yeshua. He comes down to the earth. Adonai said, look, the people are united. They all have a single language. And see what they're starting to do. At this rate, nothing they set out to accomplish will be impossible for them. I think God is surprised, honestly, that even after the deliverance of the flood of Noah and his family, that the offspring refused to acknowledge him. Not only did they refuse to acknowledge him in their lives, but now they want to form a rebellion against him. And I think when he says, see what they're starting to do in verse 6, that I think he's honestly surprised as why mankind refuses to join together with him, but mankind chooses instead to join together with one another and to push him out. What is wrong with men and women on the planet that this tendency, this total lack of wisdom, they want to push him out and take over? So he says in verse 7, come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they won't understand each other's speech. God speaking again among himself, the fullness of his person, speaking to one another. So from there, Adonai scattered them all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. So the confusion of their language. Today we see a united world. Again, we see a united humanity, though the technological advancements have been a blessing, they have also caused, once again, humanity to be in need of nothing. We have everything. Every bit of information we could have ever dreamed of is at our fingertips. Common language of the internet, connecting people around the world, one world. It's something that the whole world longs for. It will be resurrected, this idea of a one world. We read about it in the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, that the world once again will unite together against God with a one world leader, just as they did here with Nimrod. And then God scatters them all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. So now the languages are developed, and specific nationalities are more specific in their location. The people that speak the same types of languages grouped together. Verse 9, for this reason it is called Babel, or Babel, because there Adonai confused the language of the whole earth, and from there Adonai scattered them all over the earth. So the question was asked by the ancient sages, which was worse, those of the generation of the flood or those of the generation of the dispersion? After the flood, those of the flood did not stretch forth their hands against God, whereas those after the flood did stretch forth their hands against God to wage war against him. Interesting thought to consider. And here we see God extending mercy. That his tendency is to show mercy toward the human race. And he just confuses their language so it disperses, rather than bringing judgment once again through the flood or through some other means. God's mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. We don't receive what we deserve. That is the mercy of God in our lives. How much more will we receive mercy as we seek him out for mercy and as we show mercy? Yeshua said that if you want to receive mercy, then be a giver of mercy and make a practice of it, not giving what is deserved. Now, verse 10, here is the genealogy of Shem. Shem was 100 years old when he fathered Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. After Arphaxad was born, Shem lived another 500 years and had sons and daughters. Just amazing to think of Arphaxad being, from what we read, maybe the first child born in the new world. Imagine being the only kid in school. You know, of course, speaking hypothetically, but just imagining what it must have been like. There was nobody else on the planet, and the planet was just in a very raw state, in a beautiful state, I'm sure. Perfect environment. Verse 12, Arphaxad lived 35 years and fathered Shelach. Now we're going to see that the ages of human beings will begin to diminish rapidly, not living as long as before the flood. After Shelach was born, Arphaxad lived another 403 years and had sons and daughters. Shelach lived 30 years and fathered Eber. After Eber was born, Shelach lived another 403 years and had sons and daughters. Eber lived 34 years and fathered Peleg. Remember, from Eber or Ever came the Hebrew people. Hebrew comes from him. As we're going to see, from Eber, the father of the Hebrews, will come Abraham. So that's where this genealogy is going, not just a random list of names, but there is a purpose. Eber lived 34 years and fathered Peleg. After Peleg was born, Eber lived another 430 years and had sons and daughters. Peleg lived 30 years and fathered Reu. After Reu was born, Peleg lived another 209 years and had sons and daughters. Reu lived 32 years and fathered Serug. After Serug was born, Reu lived another 207 years and had sons and daughters. Serug lived 30 years and fathered Nahor. After Nahor was born, Serug lived another 200 years and had sons and daughters. Nahor lived 29 years and fathered Terah. After Terah was born, Nahor lived another 119 years and had sons and daughters. Terach lived 70 years and fathered Avram, Nahor, and Haran. Here is the genealogy of Terach. Terach fathered Avram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran fathered Lot. Haran died before his father Terah in the land where he was born, in Ur of the Kasdim, or the Chaldeans. Ancient Mesopotamia is where Abraham comes from, today modern-day Iraq, in that region of the world. So Tara, we have followed the genealogy all the way down from Shem. Remember, Shem's line is chosen. From the Shemites comes Abraham, the first Hebrew he's going to be recognized as in a time to come here in Genesis. But the three brothers, Avraham, Nahor, and Haran, and also Lot is mentioned here. But Haran died before his father Terah. So one of the brothers, Haran, in the Talmud, there's an interesting account of how Haran died. Again, we reference the Talmud. It is extra biblical. It is not in the Bible, but the ancient commentaries are interesting to listen to and to read about, and they often give you additional insight, at least to think about, at least to wonder about. And Terah, the father of the three brothers, was an idol worshiper who followed the religion of Nimrod. And the legend is that Haran was divided whether to follow his brother Avram, who became the follower, maybe the first follower, of the one true and living God. Haran was confused as to whether he should stay with his father's religion of Nimrod. And so the story says that Terah complained about his son Abraham to Nimrod directly, because Abraham had crushed his father's idols, destroyed his idols. So Nimrod had cast Abraham into a fiery furnace, but Haran the brother sat and thought, if Abraham is victorious, I'm on his side. And if Nimrod is victorious, I am on his side. And so Abraham allegedly survived the furnace, and Haran was then thrown into the furnace for following Abraham and denying Nimrod, and therefore he died before his father Terah died. So he died young, in other words, in that furnace experience. Verse 29, then Avram and Nahor took wives for themselves. The name of Avram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran. He was the father of Milcah and of Yiscah. Sarai was barren. She had no child. And Terah took his son Avram, his son Haran's son Lot, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Avram's wife, and they left Ur of the Chasdim to go to the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they stayed there. And Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. So prior to coming into the promised land, the land of Canaan, we're going to read more about in the chapters to come, the father, Terah, dies off, representing the previous generation of idol worshippers that, beginning with Abraham, that is, the Hebrews would begin to worship and focus on the one true and living God of heaven. This is Torah 101. Thank you.